You know, we've been going over the book of Acts, and we are now in Acts chapter 20, so that I will bring back your memory. We have been studying the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a history of how the church began. So for the past so many months, we were discussing the overview, chapter by chapter. So I'll have a quick outline. The church began in Jerusalem. That's Acts chapter 1 up to Acts chapter 8. The focus was in Jerusalem, and the main character was Peter. As you study the historical book, Acts, you will notice in Acts chapter 8 to 12, you now have a transition. From Jerusalem, the church began to go across cultural borders, barriers. So you have Judea, Samaria, and the people mentioned there is once again Peter and Philip. And then, in the last part of the book of Acts, from chapter 13 up to the end, you have the Apostle Paul to the remotest part of the earth. This is where you see how the church began to go outside the border of the Middle East. It went to Europe. And ladies and gentlemen, praise God for those men of God who risked their lives to give us the gospel. So as I was thinking, how should I highlight chapter 20? And this is what I've discovered. I realize all of us would like to live a life of significance. You want to make your life meaningful. Yes or no? I mean, if you are normal, okay, I'm speaking to normal people. You want your life to count. Yes or no? Now, many times you need model. You need example. You see, life is about choices. Small choices that has big consequences. I remember years ago, I was a young lady. She was a very attractive, intelligent lady with tremendous future. Her family and our family were friends. And she was studying at Faith Academy, missionary daughter. Then she left for the States. She was a good girl, but she was not very intentional in her choices and her actions. See, life is about choices, small choices. And before we knew it, her parents told us what happened to her daughter. Her daughter got involved with a guy, and I believe they don't have a plan to commit immorality, but they were not careful, and she became pregnant. And her entire future was impacted. Small choices, but big consequences. I remember, you may not realize this, today is our 46th anniversary. My wife and I. Happy anniversary, baby. Years ago, over 46 years ago, I made a small choice. I brought my business friend to an evangelistic dinner, concert. It's a small choice. Brought my business friends to a business concert. And one of the singers was this young lady. We met. Small decisions, but big consequences. Now we have over 20 grandchildren. Is that amazing? Small choices. The problem is this. Are your actions, are your choices aligned with your purpose? That is the challenge. You make daily choices. That's fine. But I want to remind you, are you living a life of intentionality? Meaning, are my choices, are my actions aligned with my purpose? Now, the problem is this. If you don't have a purpose, then what is there to be intentional about? What is that Tagalog saying? You just kind of go with the flow? Do you know what is that Tagalog saying? In my time, it's called babanjing banjing. Now, do you still have that word, banjing banjing? In English, banjing banjing. You just go with the flow, no purpose. Que sera sera, whatever will be, will be. But the other problem is this. What if your purpose is wrong? Now, that's even worse. So you become intentional in becoming something or somebody, but that purpose is not the right purpose for you. So this morning, I want to share with you some principles on choices. So the title of this morning's message is very simple. Everybody read together. Live intentionally. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, live intentionally. You know, intentionality, mabuhay ka ng may pagsasadya. Malalim yun, ha? Magbuhay ka na ano? Pagsasadya. Meaning, intentional. So, how do you do that? In the book of Acts, there are many examples. But let me just share with you, good results, let's read together, good results seldom happen by chance. They are a byproduct of intentionality. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, live intentionally? Yeah, because good results seldom happen by chance. So, how do you live intentionally? Based on the example of Paul, I'm going to highlight a couple of them. You have more examples in Acts 20, but just to save time, you'll notice Paul lived intentionally. He served God and others. He made that very clear. He modeled serving God and others. Paul was very intentional. He shared God's truth. He was very intentional. Paul was very intentional. He sought God's agenda. Very, very intentional. Paul was very intentional in strengthening future leaders. Are you ready? All right, let's begin. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, last Sunday, we left off at verse 16. So this Sunday, let's begin. Everybody, let's read. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. Now, you have to remember, Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem. But he had to go to certain places. But the Bible tells us, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. For what purpose? He wanted to meet the elders. So that you have a glimpse of where we are, everybody. The Apostle Paul was in Miletus. He sent for the elders of Ephesus. This is his last leg of his third journey. Paul had three journeys in proclaiming the gospel. This is the last one, the third one. After this, you will not see anymore Paul going to different places. He ended up in Rome, and then you will see the book of Acts suddenly ending. Because the book of Acts has no end. But Paul was in prison. The book of Acts is still being written today. You and I are still completing the book of Acts. Because God gave us a command. Go into all the world and make disciples. And God gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us. So that is the book of Acts. Now Paul, as he was in Miletus on his way, okay, back to Jerusalem, Antioch. Now, why do I highlight these places? Paul was very intentional. The Bible tells us he sent to Ephesus, not just for ordinary believers. He asked for leaders. I want to meet the elders. Paul was very intentional. Why? Do you know how far Miletus is from Ephesus? Can you guess? 30 miles. 30 miles is like from here to Silang. It's like from here to Bulacan. It's not near. Those people don't have cars. In all probability, they walk. The fastest you can walk, 30 miles, will probably make it one day. One day walk to get there. Then Paul will meet them. And then they'd go back home. Friends, Paul was very intentional. He wanted to make sure he met with the leaders. Now, when the Bible uses the word elders, literally, it's from the word presbyter. So you have the word Presbyterian. These are leaders, bearded ones, a bit older. But the Bible uses it interchangeably. Elders are also presbyters from the Hebrew, from the word presbyteros, and it's also translated as overseer, literally means bishop. So in your Bible, these are all equal in usage. Elder, presbyter, overseer, bishop, from the Greek word episkopos, you are overlooking a congregation. What is the function of elder? What is the function of presbyter? What is the function of overseer? What is the function of bishop? Pastoring. So the word pastor is really not a title. It is a function. So when you call us pastor, you are telling us what we do. A pastor, what is his job? From the word shepherd, pastoring. So we shepherd a flock. Now, how many of you are pastors? Raise your hands. Now you will all raise your hands. Can I tell you something? If you have a family, if you have people under you, if you are caring for somebody, you are a manager, you are a CEO, or you have family members, you have children, you have a small group, you are a pastor. So how many of you are pastors? Raise your hands. Hallelujah. Higher, higher, higher. You know what? I want you to realize, now that you're a pastor, please act like one, okay? So how do you act like a pastor? Be normal. Be authentic. Okay? Now, pastoring has the idea of shepherding. It has the idea of leading. It's protecting. So all of us, whether you like it or not, you are leaders or becoming leaders. Now, what's the qualification? This is just a sidetrack. Okay? I just want you to know. In CCF, we follow the biblical model. An overseer must be everybody together. So you will know. If you see any pastors, any leaders that does not comply with this, please inform us, okay? Technically, the Bible says very clear, an overseer, an elder, a bishop, understand? An overseer, an elder, a bishop, or the functioning of a pastor, please read, must be above reproach. Notice, it's all character. Husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable. It's all about character. Abilities, one is mentioned, able to teach. Not addicted to wine, pugnacious, meaning short-tempered, quarreling, gentle, peaceable. Everybody read, free from the love of money, not materialistic. And the Bible tells us together, he must be one, everybody together, he must be one who manages his own household well. Why? Keeping his children under control with all dignity. That includes the wife. Okay? Manage your wife and your children properly. Love them. Everybody please read. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? Are we clear? So he asked for the elders. He asked for these leaders. I want to meet you. What did he model? Paul was so intentional. He told the elders, be intentional, watch me. So he modeled serving God and others. How do I know? Let's read this together. By the way, you don't have to remember the sub-points. Just remember one main point. Live intentionally. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor. Live intentionally. May pagsadya sa buhay. Live intentionally. Not go with the flow. Understand? Don't follow the crowd. Live intentionally. What is your purpose in life? Make sure you know God's purpose in your life so that whatever you do, it will be aligned to His purpose. Many of us are not very strategic in our behavior. Let's read this together. And when they had come to Him, He said to them, you yourselves, everybody read, you yourselves know, from the first day I set foot in Asia, how I was with you, intentional. To impact people, you need to have relationship. I was with you. Do you know how many years? Paul was with them 3 years. He impacted their lives. Next, serving the Lord. He was very emphatic. I was with you and I modeled. serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. Notice, he modeled serving God. How did he serve God? With humility, tears, trials. This is something that you and I need to learn. Today, we live in a culture where it's all about self. I just came from a conference in Singapore last week. And one of the topics was 21st century future churches. What are the challenges we will encounter? And one of the speakers talked about the challenge of young people. And I noticed something about young people. I praise God, majority of CCFers are young, like us young, at heart. But many of you are young in terms of age group. In fact, I want to test something. How many of you are below 40 years old? Raise your hand. Below 40, below 40. Higher, higher, higher. Oh, tingnan mo. Batang bata. Oh. Higher, higher. Oh, see? How many of you are below 30? Raise your hands. Okay, you know, 12 o'clock, there will be more. Okay? Now, look at me. One of the challenges facing Christianity today is called consumerism, consumers. So I began to listen in attentively. Consumerism. See, many Christians have this idea. It's all about themselves. Shallow, no depth. They follow Jesus, but their mindset, they have not been discipled. You know, they like the message. I believe many of them have come to Jesus, but they have never been taught. They have not been discipled. So it's all about themselves. And how do you see this phenomena? You see a lot of Christians today, they go church shopping. What do you mean by church shopping, church hopping? You know what's their mind? Let me see. The music. Oh, yeah. The music is good for me. I like the music. I'll go to this church. Oh, the message. Oh, the speaker. Oh, it's all about themselves. They don't have this idea of, I am committed to a body, to a group of people. I'm there to serve. No, no. They are there to take. Consumerism. And that's why many churches are growing by church transfer. That's one of our concerns. We don't want to grow by church transfer. We want to grow by means of evangelism, by introducing Jesus to people who do not know the Lord yet. But there are many people who knows the Lord already, but they are church shopping. Listen to me, friends. Why are you here? My prayer is you are here because God called you here and you want to serve Jesus through CCF. I won't be in CCF if the mission of CCF is not aligned with God's mission. I am with CCF because the mission of CCF is to go make disciples. And that's my mission. So my personal mission and the mission of the organization and the body of Christ is aligned. I have no problem. But the moment the mission is not about making disciples, if you want CCF to be the best music producers of the entire world, that's great. But it may not appeal to my passion. I believe in good music. But I believe we are called to make disciples. So Paul modeled. Paul said, I was a servant. I served with tears. I served with humility. Now, ladies and gentlemen, certain characteristic traits you cannot teach in the classroom. It's like swimming. How many of you know how to swim? Raise your hand. You know how to swim? All right. How do you teach people how to swim? It can never be in a classroom. How do you teach people how to serve? How do we teach people humility? How do you teach people commitment, dedication, service? It's modeling. It's action. It's experiential. You know, I praise God for my wife because my wife modeled service. In fact, because of her example, it impacted my life. You have to understand, by nature, I don't like to serve. By nature, men, wave at me, married men, just married men, say hi to me, married men. You know, married men, we have this idea. Our wives are there to serve us. You know why? That's our model. You know, my father was a good man. My mother served my father. My father-in-law was a good man. He was a military officer. He was in the Marine. He became a pastor. So my models, the men are men. And the wives serve the men. But you know what? As I studied the Bible, as I learned, there's nothing wrong if I also learn to serve my wife. You know why? I remember one day, because of her action, I have five wonderful children. You will notice something about them. They really serve. You know why? Because my wife modeled what? Service. And then one day, I have this muscle problem. My wife told me, I know the cure for you. I told my wife, what is the cure for my muscle, for my shoulder muscle? She said, CMB. I thought it was a very profound word, CMB. I said, what is that? I want to cure my muscle. She said, C stands for carry. M stands for my. B, my bag. Carry, my bag, and your shoulder muscle will develop. So now I carry her bag when we are traveling. You know why? It's called CMB. You see, by nature, I don't like to carry her bag. But by training, by modeling, I am learning. Comprende? Now, let me ask you, are your children seeing a model of serving others? I am very observant. When I bring people to the Holy Land, when I bring people, you know, together, I look at their children. And I notice children that are not trained very well, they are the first to sit down. They are the first to get food. But children that are trained properly with a servant attitude, they don't sit down. They allow the older ones, please sit. Why? It's training. It's modeling. So you and I need to ask ourselves, what are we modeling to our disciples, to our people? You know, years ago, I don't know if you recall, how many of you have been to our older retreats in DAP? DAP, DAP. I don't know how old you are. Okay, attorney. You know, we used to go to DAP, Development Academy of the Philippines. Opposite DAP is Picnic Grove. Now, we ran out of space. So we had to go to Picnic Grove. At that time, Picnic Grove is entitled Picnic Grave. Why? No running water. The screens have holes. But we ran out of space. Praise God for my wonderful wife. My wife told me, honey, we have to be an example. We cannot stay in DAP. I said, I'm the speaker. It does not matter. You are the leader. We have to be an example. So we need to go to Picnic Grave. So I tell you, nobody knows at night. You know, at night there's no running water. You know where I pee? I pee over the window. It's total darkness. Nobody will know, and I fertilize the grass. But that's how awful the place is. But can I tell you something? Some other elders saw our action, and they began to realize leadership is serving. It's not entitlement. You must share God's truth. You know, you must be intentional. Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house. Notice, Paul was very intentional. Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. What does he mean by that? Notice, I taught you publicly, big group, and from house to house, small group, D group, like what we are doing in CCF, big group, and on weekdays, we go house to house, exactly the same pattern, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of, notice, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice the word repentance and faith in Christ? You see, many times, Bible teachers, you want to be politically correct. There are times when I teach truth, and it's not going to be convenient, and you may not like it. But you know, my responsibility is to share the truth. And sometimes truth is painful. Especially when you talk about repentance. You talk about faith toward Jesus. You see, the gospel message involves repentance and faith in Jesus. Today, many people will talk about the gospel, but they don't teach repentance. My friend, if you think coming to Christ is just adding another Savior without your willingness to renounce, turn away from sin, you have not understood the gospel. Repentance is foundational. The grace of God will give you the strength and the desire to change, but you must be willing to change. And then you must have faith in Jesus. Notice, before you can have faith in Jesus, clearly, I always don't know the whole sequencing. Sometimes people have faith in Jesus first, then they realize, my goodness, I'm a sinner. Then they repent. It's a cycle. Somebody once said, the Christian life is daily repentance. The Christian life is daily trusting in Jesus. It is not a one-time event. You don't repent just once in your life. Yes, once upon a time, you repented, you turned to Jesus. But after coming to Jesus, you need to repent daily, daily. God speaks to you. Just last week, I told my wife, honey, I'm sorry. You see, she asked me a question, and I did not answer her straight. And the Lord convicted me. I said, honey, will you forgive me? My wife does the same. We ask for forgiveness from each other. It's daily repentance. I've asked my wife to share something with you today about the intentionality of sharing. Let's welcome my wife.
Good morning. So today I'd like to share with you two incidences of intentionality in sharing God's word. The first was about my husband, Peter. We arrived last Sunday from Singapore, and it was in the evening. We got home past 8 o'clock, and our grandkids were there, our kids, and they were waiting for dinner. My husband decided to be intentional and have a Bible study with the children. So his style of Bible study is he will let them read the verse, then he will ask them, what did you learn from the verse? And after that, what will you apply? He goes around each child. And after it was done, my granddaughter, Peter's eldest girl, Tegan, said, Grandpa, Uncle, can we do this again next week? You see, people love God's word when we're just intentional as parents, as grandparents, to disciple our children for Jesus. Second incident, this Friday, I was intentional in spending time with Carolyn, my baby, and her two daughters, her two elder daughters. We went to Active Fun. It was Natasha's idea. So we went to Active Fun. Can you show the slide? I think there's a slide there. Okay. And I went inside to play with them, you know, to climb up the slide and everything. And then there was this argument. This little boy was really upset with Natasha, and he was accusing her of grabbing his arm and not letting him go. And she was trying to explain, but he was really mad. So they were able to apologize to each other, became best of friends, and played for the rest of the time. But at lunchtime, she talked to us. She said, Grandma, Mom, you know what I was talking about, why I grabbed his arm? We said, no. She said, I was talking to him about heaven. And we said, about heaven, what did you tell him? And she said, I was telling him that he needed Jesus in his heart to go to heaven. And then she said, and then what did you else you say? I said, you need Jesus in your heart to go to heaven. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're going to the fire. And so she said, he was trying to run away, so I grabbed his arm. And then he ran away. And then she said, I'm so sad because he ran away. And then she thought for a moment. She said, but you know what I realized? This is a five-year-old, okay? I realized that it's not between me and him. It's between him and God. I was sitting there awestruck. I thought, what an amazing revelation from the Lord to this five-year-old, because she was willing to be intentional and to share the gospel in the midst of jumping on the, you know, in Active Fun, sliding down the slides with this guy because God put it in her heart. And this is something that it took me years to learn, that success in sharing God's word and sharing the gospel to those whom Jesus loves is simply intentionally sharing the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. It's not between us and them. It's between them and the Lord. I told her, you know what, Natasha? Jesus put that in your heart because he loves this boy. And the Bible says that God's word will not return to him void. He will remember, so you pray for him. And I want to say to us, let's be intentional in sharing God's word, the gospel, with those whom Jesus loves. God bless you.
Praise God. Be intentional. You know, I don't know about you, but there are times you are with your friends and you do not know what to talk about. And if you don't know what you want to talk about, girls, I'm warning you, you begin to gossip. I suggest, before you meet your friends, before you meet your family members, leaders, men, you think, what do I want to discuss with them today? Be intentional. I do my best to be intentional. I think ahead. If I'm with my children, if I'm with my sons, what will I talk about in this gathering? Be a blessing. You know, if you want to make an impact, you have to be intentional. So can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, live intentionally. You know, you have to be intentional. You have to think, what will I talk about? If you're going to be with your parents this lunchtime, you're going to be with your family members, all right? Think about it. What topics should we discuss? I suggest one of the best topics is ask them, what did you learn from today's message? And if they forget, just tell them, live intentionally. Share, you must seek God's agenda. You know, the Apostle Paul was so intentional. He lived out serving God and others. It's counterintuitive. By nature, I'm selfish. So Paul made sure the people will understand. Share God's truth. Very important. You got to know God's truth. It may hurt. It may not be politically correct. It's okay. You know, sometimes you are with your friends for the longest time and you have never even shared with them about Jesus. So have a nice way of sharing the gospel. I don't recommend you copy the approach of my youngest, one of my young granddaughter, okay? If you don't have Jesus, you go to hell. Ha, goodbye. No. There are many ways to talk about the gospel. Amen? But think. And then seek God's agenda. You know why? This is so crucial. One of our elders, during our devotional time this week, talked about the cross. You know, the cross is the place where self-will will die to God's will. You know, Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Many times, our disciples don't understand the principle of seeking God's will, God's agenda. Look at the Apostle Paul. How did he do it? Everybody read. Behold, bound by the Spirit. The word bound has this Greek word idea from the root word enslaved. Doulos. Paul said, I am bound. I am in prison. I submit myself. Do you understand? Bound. Nakatali. By the Spirit, capital S, by the Holy Spirit. What will the Holy Spirit want him to do? Everybody read. I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me, except the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city that the bonds and afflictions await me. You see the problem today? Our Christianity is not the real Christianity. We follow Jesus based on convenience. We don't follow Jesus out of conviction that he is the Son of God. He is the Lord. So this is important. You must seek after God's will. You may ask, why? Why should you teach your children to seek God's will? Very simple. He's God. He's the boss. He knows what's best. Do you believe God knows what's best for you? Yes or no? No, tell me, honestly. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe he knows what's best for you? Do you believe he wants what's best for you? Louder.
Yes.
Now, how do you put this in practice? Simple. If you believe God is God, he's boss. But on top of being the boss, he's a good boss. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. How do I apply this? Simple. If I'm single, and I want to marry somebody, and that person is not saying yes to me, but I understand theology. So how do I make decision? I say, Lord, I want your will. So if this person is not for me, it's okay because you have somebody better. Now, assuming you don't have somebody better, it's also okay because you know what's best for me. Do you understand that mindset of trusting God? Comprende? Simple. Know Him. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. But what is best for you may not always what you like. That's the problem. So for the Apostle Paul, he does not like this. Who wants afflictions? You're crazy. Nobody wants affliction. But for the Apostle Paul, he loves affliction. By the way, how many of you know this song? Born free as the wind blows. How many of you know this song? Raise your hands. And I know how old you are. Yeah. You know why? This is a myth. As free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. My goodness, you think that is really freedom to follow your heart? Do you know what the Bible says about the heart? Our heart is so deceitful. Sometimes my heart does not think straight. My heart can deceive me. My feeling can deceive me. And you know what will happen? You just follow your heart. You become enslaved to your appetite. Enslaved to something worse. True freedom is found in following the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with the desires, the appetite, the lust of the flesh. It's normal. The desire for sex, that was invented by God. The appetite, the desire for food, that's normal. However, the flesh, sin, has corrupted those desires. So you got to submit them to the Lordship of Jesus. And then sex becomes wonderful. Eating becomes a joy. Do you know I love food? People are surprised. When they eat with me, they see I eat a lot. You know why? You eat the right kind of food. Yeah, the right kind. Not always sugar, not always cake. Understand? And you don't become enslaved to sugar. Some of you are addicted to sugar. You know, the sugar industry won't like me, okay? But that's okay. So you need to practice discipline. Discipline yourself. You see, you need to live intentionally. So you got to practice discipline. To say no to yourself, say yes to God. The Apostle Paul modeled discipline. Everybody read this. Discipline, I discipline my body. This is what Paul is saying. I discipline my body and make it my slave. Now, be honest with me. Do you make your body your slave? I discipline my body, make it my slave. After I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Do you know how many leaders are falling away from the faith? Friends, following Jesus is the beginning, but you must surrender to Him. So Paul was intentional in pursuing God's will. Notice, Jesus tells us, He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, you want to follow Jesus? Here are the conditions. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. No other way. So don't be deceived by false Bible teachers who tell you to follow Jesus, do whatever you want. He died on the cross for you. He has forgiven your sins. Now, there is some form of discipline that's required, but it's a wonderful discipline. If you know the purpose, is to live a life to please God. Look at what Paul said in Acts 20. He told his disciples, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself so that I may finish my course. Notice what he's saying. He said, my life, it is not as important as finishing my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. For the Apostle Paul, the Christian life is like an athlete. It's a picture of a marathon runner. He's running. It's a racetrack that I will finish my course. He says, I will finish my course. And the ministry, the work, the assignment that God has given me. My friend, what is really your purpose in life? Do you live to seek out God's purpose and will for your life? For the Apostle Paul, that's his priority. What about you? Have you thought about what's God's purpose for your life? See, Paul is very clear. I've received a commission from God. God gave me a mission. Make disciples. What about you? Has God given you a mission in your office, at your house, in your home? You see, I'm not asking all of you to quit from your job. I'm only asking you to ask God, to ask yourself, Lord, in my present position, in my present company, what is your will? Pursue God's will. You will never, ever say, I desire to do God's will more than my life. You will never do that until you experience the beauty of Jesus. You see, for the Apostle Paul, to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. People think this is crazy. It is not crazy if you know Jesus. It is crazy if you don't know Jesus. My friend, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I'm no fool. If I, if I will surrender this watch, if I surrender this watch in exchange for something, provided it is better. I'm a fool if I hang on to this watch when somebody else is gonna give me something so much better. You see, you know our problem? You cling on to your life. You cling on to what you want. But God is saying, I have something better for you. The Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. What will make a man say that? Unless he knows the Lord. Friends, let me tell you something. If you don't have Christ, you have nothing. If you have Christ, you have everything. For the Apostle Paul, Jesus was so real. The glory of heaven, so real. The rewards of Jesus, so real. That for him, all of this is nothing. For many of us, heaven is not real. Jesus is not so real. What is real is now. And that's why our priorities, our agenda is this world. Get to know the Lord. Get to know Jesus. How precious Jesus is. And lastly, Paul was very intentional in strengthening future leaders. Just remember one main point. Live intentionally. But he was intentional in developing future leaders. Because Paul knew he won't be there forever. You know what he said? Look, you have to know you won't be here forever. You got to develop leaders. Success is no success without successors. And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Paul is saying, you know what? You won't see my face anymore. You see, Paul knew his mortality. The truth is this. One day, you won't see me anymore. And one day, I won't see you anymore. That's the truth. Now, are you preparing the audience? Are you preparing your family? You know what Paul did? He prepared them. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. When you disciple people, when you disciple your family, you want to prepare them for the future. So that's what Paul did. I gave you the whole purpose of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole purpose of God is found in the Bible. And I always encourage people, please read the Bible. I read the Bible every day. You know why? I want to know God. I want to know His purpose. Do you read the Bible daily? If you don't, please don't tell me you don't have time. Just tell me it is not important to you. If you don't have quiet time, please don't tell me you're too busy. No, just say it is not important to me. Because you will have time for what is important to you. You will make time. You will find time. So Paul delivered the whole counsel of God. He says, everybody read now, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Now, this amazing statement. Look at the sequence. Be on guard for yourselves before you be on guard for the flock. Many men, many leaders neglect guarding themselves. If you go to an airplane, you notice the stewardess, how they would announce it? In case of an emergency, the oxygen mask will fall. Will you please, what are you supposed to do with the oxygen mask? Will you please put it on yourself first? Not with children. If you're with children, you put the mask on yourself first. You know why? Guard yourself. That's the whole principle of the Christian life. So I tell leaders, and I tell all of you, are you living a double life? I warned my son years ago when he left for the States. I said, son, I have one request from you. I told my son, I said, don't deceive yourself. Don't live outwardly one way, but privately you have a secret life. Because God knows. And you cannot lead others until you learn to lead yourself. So Paul says, be on guard. What does it mean to be on guard? That means there are dangers. Gentlemen, ladies, do you know the danger that's lurking there? I don't know about you, but you must know your strength and your weaknesses. For me, I know my weaknesses. Men, can I tell you our weaknesses? Men, say hi to me, men. No, men, I'm looking at you, men. You have to know your weaknesses. And for us, sex is an issue. Money is an issue. Pride is an issue. Materialism. So once you know these are your weaknesses, you guard. That's why in CCF, the pastors will not counsel the opposite sex on a prolonged period or with a locked door, enclosed room. We don't do that. You don't want to travel alone with a girl. You don't want to go have lunch or dinner alone with the opposite sex. You need to guard yourself. So he says, guard yourself, then guard the flock. Who are the flock? All the flock God has given you. Your family, your employees, your company. You know, I'm telling our leaders, just yesterday, I was telling one of our pastors, you know, we should guard the staff reporting to us. Because they're our flock. We need to take care of them. So everybody, let's take care of each other. Amen? But guard yourself first. So that's Paul. He's preparing them for the future. And then look at what he said. You have to know why your work is so important. The flock is so important because number one, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You are appointed by the Holy Spirit to be the leader, to be the shepherd of your family, of your flock, of your company. It is the Holy Spirit who appointed you. It is a privilege. Next, he told them, shepherd the church of God. The word church simply means the assembly, the people of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, your family does not belong to you. CCF does not belong to us. It belongs to God. I am just a steward. Let me prove to you, your family does not belong to you. Can I prove to you? Simple. One day they will leave you. And one day you will leave them. So they are not permanent. They're given to you a period of time. Shepherd them. Take care of them. And then next, they are precious. Which, everybody read, which he purchased with his own blood. The church is precious. I love the church of God. I care for you, all of you. Because it's not mine. Jesus died to purchase you, to purchase me. You are precious. So we are not to neglect the church of God. It's precious. Once you know the responsibility God has given us, you see, Paul was very intentional. He's saying, you guys do your job. The church does not belong to you. It belongs to God. The church was purchased by Jesus. You see the Trinity at work? The Holy Spirit appointed you, the church of God, and purchased by the blood of Jesus. You are precious. And the Bible tells us, I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among you, from among you men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. You see, to shepherd, to strengthen future leaders, you got to warn them. Warn them. Guard yourself. Guard the flock. What will you guard about? False teachers. Many people don't realize the internet today is very dangerous because you get all kinds of junk information and they seem to be true. But they are not biblically all true. The most dangerous lies are the ones that are not obvious. The most dangerous counterfeit truths are 99% true and 1% false. Let me repeat. The technique of the devil is to have false teachers rise up among us. He says, among you. The Bible is very clear. So you got to be alert. Therefore, look at what Peter warned them with also. Same idea. Everybody read. Together. Ready, go. False prophets also arose among the people. Just as there will also be louder false teachers among you. How do you detect? Very simple. Who will secretly introduce destructive heresies? Even denying the master. In other words, they will slowly but surely attack who Jesus is. His divinity. His sufficiency. Look at Jude. Have crept in unnoticed. Oh, look at your neighbor. Oh, no, no, just joking, huh? But they've crept in unnoticed. Now, what do they teach? Let's read. Who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only master. You see, these are dangerous theology. So anybody that teaches you anything that draws you away from who Jesus is, from confidence in Jesus to something else, dangerous. Anything, any group that teaches you to focus on something else, and it gives you excuses to commit sin. Dangerous. We must teach holiness brought about by Jesus. Amen? Are our sins forgiven because of Christ? Yes. How are we forgiven? By grace. Through the work of Jesus on the cross. He paid for all of my sins. And because He paid for all of my sins, you now remember this, do not keep on sinning. Because you have no business sinning. He paid for your sins. You should learn to love Jesus more than you love sin. But should you sin, the Bible says you can come to Christ. But you will not keep on sinning if you are a true Christian. You know why? You may fall into sin, but you will run away from sin. Something happened to my life. I don't know how to explain this. What I used to love to do, I don't like doing it anymore. Am I tempted? I'm still tempted. But something happened. I don't like to do what I used to do. He changed me. Does it mean I'm not tempted? No. But something happened. The same thing will happen to all of us if you have Jesus. Therefore, he repeats, therefore be on the alert. Do you see how you prepare future leaders? Warn them, guide them, be on the alert. Remember, for 3 years, Paul said, for 3 years, I did not cease teaching you, admonishing you with tears. Now, what's the safeguard? How do you strengthen your disciples? I commend you to God and the word of His grace. In other words, what will protect you is God and the Bible, His word. That's the safeguard. And He is saying, and I'm telling you now, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus, not on people. Why? Because people will disappoint you. People will cause you to stumble. So don't keep your eyes on people. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And next, focus your eyes on the word of His grace. You need the word of God. It's what will strengthen you. Now, surprisingly, he added something. He says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. Huh, why did he put that in? He's talking about false teachers. Because false teachers can be detected by their motive. They want a following. Why? Because they want your money. They want your support. And Paul is saying, a true teacher cares after you. I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. I praise God for many of you, for many CCF leaders. We support ourselves. We don't ask for money. Why? We want to be a model by working hard. He's saying, by working hard. Look at the next verse. Paul is saying, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can detect false teachers when they come to your group and then they want to draw disciples away for them and they eventually to get their money and their support. You be careful with anybody, anything that is asking for money. Now, listen to me. Is money important? Of course. In CCF, we praise God for your support. But if there's a pastor bugging you for money, you better report to us. Because we don't allow that. Are we clear? We want your shepherd to love you, not because of what they'll get from you. Now, if you are touched by the Lord, praise God. And that's why we have these offering boxes. Can you see the offering boxes? How many do we have here? One, two. Oh, but look all around us. You know why? We want you to give willingly, freely. Not somebody bothering you. But sometimes we endorse campus missionaries. They are young people. They need to raise their support. There's no problem. You'll have our letter of endorsement. But it's for your protection. You know, I want to give you a live example of the importance of intentional living. As we close, I've asked a couple to come up here. This girl is amazing. Her father was intentional. She was intentional. And before she comes, as she's coming up, I want you to watch her video. As she's coming up, her name is Jen, and her husband Dominic. How intentional living will inspire you, how you transform the world, how you impact people. Live intentionally. You want to see an example of intentional living? All right, watch her.
So from the outside, my life looks crazy. I was born without legs, left in the hospital, adopted by the most unlikely couple in the middle of nowhere. I've always been obsessed with gymnastics. It was maybe crazy to have that kind of a dream without legs, but in my head it didn't matter.
From Illinois, Jennifer Wicker.
I was raised with an empowered mindset, self-esteem, confidence. You can do anything you want. I played softball, basketball, volleyball, and power tumbling, all against able-bodied athletes. Fast forward a couple years, I started performing as an acrobat and an aerialist all over the world. Just unbelievable, and I couldn't be more grateful. Is happiness a choice? Yes. I have to make decisions every day to be happy. It doesn't matter that I was born without legs, not given a name, left in the hospital. Those circumstances that look ugly on the outside are actually what was the beginning of my beauty.
Thank you, thank you. How are you, CCF? Are you still awake? Yes, well, thank you so much for having us here. We're just gonna close it out really quickly, but you know, for me, he's been speaking about intentionality all day, right? And I am so passionate about intentionality because, like he said, leading by example. I saw that as an example, intentional living from my parents my entire life. They were intentional in adopting me. They never saw a picture of me, but they heard there was a baby girl born without legs, put up for adoption, and they said, I'll take her. Never seeing a picture of me. Never knowing what would come. And just because I was adopted and didn't have legs did not mean I got any excuses in my family. No special passes. So if you want to do something, you work hard, you put your mind to it, and you will do it. They said, you are not a mistake. You are not an accident. God made you like this on purpose and for a purpose and for a reason. Amen?
So there was intentionality behind everything I was doing, and I saw by example how to use what God gave me for Him. And I saw and I knew it was more than just words. My parents said, can't is not part of your vocabulary, meaning it's a lifestyle. It's a choice every single day. How are we going to overcome the obstacles? The one thing we have in common in this room, do you know what that is? That every single person in here has obstacles, challenges, right? We don't get a free pass in life from that. But we have Jesus, and we have His mercy, and we have His grace. And I know that I wouldn't be right here right now if I didn't have legs. It's on purpose. That doesn't mean that I'm here just to sound good on stage to uplift you. That's real. He is real. If we believe that He is the God of the Bible, who He says He is, then we have to believe that. Amen? So everybody in here has purpose. Everybody in here has meaning in their life and gifts and talents that Jesus gave to all of us to use to glorify Him. Amen? So, amen. So there is purpose in living intentional because that's how He designed us. Whatever your gift, whatever your talent, whatever your passion is, use that for the Lord and change a life. Thank you.
So I'm here with Jen. My name is Dominic, and Jen is from America. I'm from Austria in the middle of Europe, and I want to share a little story with you. So I grew up on a farm. Music was always my passion, and I was a Christian, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so I made bad choices. It was sometimes little choices, as your pastor Peter said before, but with huge impact and negative impact. So I had relationships, made bad choices, impure choices in this relationship, and I fell in deep depression when I was 17, 18 years old. I had suicidal thoughts, and I didn't know what to do anymore. And what helped me a little bit was half-truths, was things that were 99% true and 1% wrong. It was affirmations, positive thinking, and just envision your own future, what is best for you, what do you want in your life, what do you want, your goals. This is new thought things. And I practiced this for 1-2 years, and it was very attractive because you achieve your goals, but you achieve your goals and not the goals that God had prepared for you. So I was on stages, I performed as an opera singer, I was very successful in terms of how other people saw me, but I felt empty inside and I didn't know what to do. And I was not happy, I was not on purpose, but I wanted a purpose and I knew this was not the truth. So 1 year ago in August, I saw a flyer who said, Jen Bricker, born without legs, and God gives her purpose for life. So I went to this event. I didn't know what that means 1 year ago. And I thought to myself, I want to find out what this means. God is leading her and gives her purpose. So I went to this event, and since that time, my life changed. And I got to know her better. I got to know Jesus better. Since that time, I'm in the Word every single day. I'm praying every single day. I gave my whole life to Jesus. Got baptized in February. And now I'm here. And we got married on 12th of July. And we are speaking about purity on our honeymoon.
This is our honeymoon.
This is our honeymoon now. So this is what God did for us, for me and for Jen, for you in our lives.
Thank you guys for having us here and letting us share our honeymoon and our story and our lives with you.
Isn't that an amazing story? No excuses. The parents were intentional. She was intentional. I asked her, how many hours do you practice? When you see her doing all of this, you think it's easy? Discipline. Intentional practice. She told me she had bruises all over the place. But my friend, that's the Christian life. You want to rest? I tell you, when you go to heaven, someday you rest. In the meantime, shall we work for Jesus? Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody, let's read. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed. You know, the Apostle Paul was so intentional. He believes in preparing leaders. And the way to prepare leaders is pray. Strengthen people by being the best example. He strengthened them by his example. He said, I did not take advantage of you. And I believe your example has strengthened all of us. Are you blessed today? Do you feel nothing is impossible with the Lord? Okay, let's all stand up and pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you for Jen, for Dominic, for their willingness to come and share. And Lord, I also praise you that when she was still young, she gave her life to you. And she did not grow up grumbling, complaining, but she grew up with the knowledge that you must have a great plan for her life. Lord, I pray that that attitude will permeate in all of the CCF satellites and in all of the Christian community, that we are made for a purpose. There are no accidents. Whatever obstacles we may have, Lord Jesus, you are bigger than our obstacles. And we pray for them, bless them, expand their borders. In Jesus' name we all pray, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I have some pastors who will be up here. As we sing, if you have any prayer requests, the pastors will pray for you. I know some of you, somehow God touched your heart. You know you have not been living intentionally. You have been wasting your life. And you want somebody to pray for you, no problem. So as we sing the last song, may I ask the prayer partners and their wives, the pastor and their wives, they'll be here and they'll pray for you. Do you mind if I will bless you guys? I'll pray for all of you. And pastors, please come up here. Father God, I now pray for your people here. Those that are hurting, those that are discouraged, those that have not been living intentionally. Lord, perhaps some of them have never even surrendered their lives to you. Today, they have noticed the sufficiency of your Son, Jesus, the importance of the truth, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. I pray for these men and women. If you are one of those people that you need Jesus and you want me to pray for you, just raise your hands up higher. Praise God, so many of you. Lord, I just pray for these men and women who raised their hands up. They need you. I pray for them that they'll encounter you. I pray that CCF will not just be a place where people worship you on Sunday, but Sunday will be a place where they encounter you, where they experience the reality of who you are, and where their lives are transformed. So help these people. And I pray for everybody here. Bless us as we leave this place. May the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the comfort of your Son Jesus be with us all forever and ever. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.